you have a Bible and you'd like to open up your Bible, we are going to be in Psalm 100 this evening. Psalm 100, the title of the message is A Thankful Life. And by the way, before we get in as well, because every now and then as the youth pastor, my job is to embarrass the students. It just comes with the territory. Did you guys enjoy the worship? I mean, that was a student, past students that have come together. So cool to be able to see them using their gifts and talents for the Lord. And for me, it's like being a proud papa. So proud of them and seeing them up there and doing all of that. Psalm 100 is where we are going to be this evening. Again, the title of the message is A Thankful Life. You know, I think when we consider the idea of thankfulness, oftentimes we can look at life and we can view life through the lens of the world, the lens of only the things that we can see, and we look out in the world and we say, there's not a whole lot to be thankful for. Matter of fact, you look around, it's easy to get depressed. It's easy to get discouraged. When we look at the world, it's easy to start to lose heart. But as for believers, our lives should be marked by thankfulness. In fact, I would argue we should be the most thankful people, because as believers, what we recognize is that if we have a personal relationship with Jesus, the good always outweighs the bad. No matter how bad life seems, no matter how much things are piling up, if you have Jesus, you have everything. But then we also appreciate that if we didn't have Jesus, then we would have nothing at all. And it doesn't matter by the world's standards how much it appears that we have going for us. To have Jesus is to have everything, but to not have Jesus is to miss everything, is to have nothing, to miss the most important thing. You know, so many people go through life, and you hear this. People say, you know, I believe that I'm a good person. You know, I'm not perfect, but I could be a lot worse. I'm a good person. I try to do the right thing. I try to do my best. Can I say, the person that lives with that mentality, that is a recipe for being unthankful and ungrateful in your life. Because when tragedy and calamity and hardship comes into your life, we begin to question, how could something like this happen to a good person like me? But for the believer, because our eyes have been illuminated by God's truth, what we recognize is there's no one that's good. The only thing that's good in me is that Jesus Christ is living in and through me. The Bible says all have sinned and all have fallen short of the glory of God. But we thank God because even though we were sinners, even though we were dead in our sins, Christ died for us. We are sinners saved by God's grace. When we keep that in remembrance, that's the mindset and the mentality to cultivate thankfulness in our lives as believers. It's all about the lens that we view life through. That changes everything. When you view the lens through self and through the world, it's a recipe for disappointment. It's a recipe for being discouraged. It's a recipe for always being let down, wanting something more and never being satisfied. Oh, but when we look through things through the lens of the Spirit, through the lens of God's truth, how freeing that is, because we go through life and we're so thankful that as we navigate through this life, whatever happens to us, we have a good Father who loves us, who is for us, who has given us a hope, identity, a future. We have everything that we need in Jesus. As we consider Thanksgiving, you know, Thanksgiving, it's a national holiday where it's all about giving thanks. Surprise, it's in the title. It's a day where often we take time to gather with family and we reflect on what we're thankful for. And I would say, as Americans, we really are blessed compared to most places in the world. Now, as I say this, just know, I recognize that America has a lot of issues. I recognize what the political landscape looks like. I recognize the things that are going on in the current events of the world that we live in. But compared to most other places, I think if we're honest with ourselves, we are a blessed people. You know, I've had the privilege of going on a number of mission trips at this point. And one of the things that I always appreciate about missions trips is there's two things that really stand out. One, I always, when I go, I come back with a deeper appreciation for the work of God, how big God's church is globally, and the unity of brothers and sisters in Christ. But then I also come back with a deeper appreciation for all that I have. When I come back, all of a sudden, the problems and the issues that I think that I have in life, all of a sudden, not so big when I get a taste of another way of living. Life could always be worse. You know, one of the things that we love to do as the youth group is we have a Mexico mission trip that we've gone on for the last couple of years. It's a great time. The students love it. We go down to the Bible College in Ensenada. We serve. We do work projects. We visit orphanages. It's a great time. One of the things that I always enjoy seeing is when we first get there to the Bible College, usually the person that's in charge of the Bible College will kind of give us the lay of the land and will give us the rules. And I always like seeing somebody who's never been on the trip before, their eyes get real big when they start talking about the rules, when they start talking about things, for example, like when you shower, keep the shower to about a minute and a half, if you can. They talk about, you know, when you use the restroom, okay? This is their saying. I didn't make it up. But their saying is, if it's yellow, you let it mellow. Okay, that means you don't flush the toilet. And if it's brown, you send it down. At least I think that's what the saying is, okay? But it's always interesting to say, wait, I have to think about things like taking a shower and flushing the toilet. It's a different way of life. And we come back with a greater appreciation for the things that we have. So we have lots of freedoms, lots of privileges that other places in the world don't have. And I think as God's people, if you know Jesus, very important, we don't take God's blessings for granted. It's so easy to get fixated on what we don't have, what we think that we need, and not meditate enough on all that we do have in Christ, all that He has made available to us. How we owe everything to Him. Job 1:21 says this. It says, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Many of you are familiar with the story of Job. Job was a man who had everything at one point by the world's standards, and then he lost everything. And this is the context of what he's saying these words in. And then later on, the next verse will go to say, he did not sin against God in everything. But I love what we see here is his mindset and mentality is, when I had a lot, God was good. When I had a little, God was good. God gives, God takes away, but through it all, God is sovereign, God is good, God is in control, and God is on the throne. That's the mentality that we need to embrace as believers, as we navigate through life. That's what helps us keep a loose grip on the things of this world, the things that the Bible say are passing away, and a firm grip on Jesus, a firm grip on the things that truly matter. You see, everything that we enjoy in life, when we adapt this mentality into our lives, we don't take it for granted, but rather we thank God for His blessing, His provision in our lives. We recognize that everything we have and all that we are, it's all because of Him, and it's all owed to Him. We live in a constant awareness that He is in control. Our lives are not our own. And because of this, we offer up our lives as a living sacrifice to God and ask the Lord to have His way in and through our lives, to take and use our lives in whatever way He sees fit for His purpose, His kingdom, and His glory. And we understand that through it all, whatever happens to us in this life, when we go through this life with this mentality that God is good, we go through life praising God, worshiping God. We praise God and we worship God in the seasons of blessing and the good times, but we also praise God and worship God through the storms, through the trying seasons, through the hard and difficult times. We bless the Lord's name in seasons of blessing. We also bless Him in the storm, in the difficulty, and even the tragedy as well. You know, when you consider Thanksgiving Day, I'm sure many of you guys have certain traditions that you do with the family. One of our family traditions of what we like to do when we gather the whole family together is we go around the table and we ask what everybody's thankful for, and everybody participates. Okay, that's one of the traditions that we do. And it's a fun little exercise to sit, to reflect, to hear some of the answers of the younger people in the audience, the older people in the audience. But for believers, what I think we need to focus more on is not so much what we're thankful for, but rather who we are thankful for. Because for the believer, our lives, it should be marked with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving shouldn't just be something that we declare with our mouths. It shouldn't be just something that we declare in seasons of blessing or whenever we deem it to be appropriate. We should praise God in all seasons, all circumstances, all situations, and never cease to praise Him. Thanksgiving should be evident in our daily lives. The lives we lived should be characterized by thanksgiving to God for all He's done for us, all He's doing, and all He is yet to do. Psalm 100, by the way, if you notice, some of your Bibles might say it right there in the title. It is a psalm of thanksgiving. Your fun fact about this psalm, that is the only psalm of all the psalms that is titled that way. What we're going to see in this psalm is an invitation from the psalmist for God's people to come before God with a spirit of worship and thanksgiving. If you want to read it in your own time, Leviticus chapter 7, we see that God designated a special offering of sacrifice for His people. And the point of all this was it wasn't just supposed to be something that was an outward demonstration. It wasn't just supposed to be lip service, but it was supposed to be genuine and to come from the heart. It's genuine over merely just putting on a show. And so this psalm lays out for us really the characteristics of a thankful life, a life that is marked by thanksgiving to God. I'm going to read the five verses in our text here, then we'll pray and get into our study. It says, "Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God, and it is He who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your presence in this place, Lord. We're so thankful to You for all that You've done in our lives, all that You're doing, and all that You're going to do, Lord. We're so thankful, Lord, that You are our hope, our great expectation, Lord, our identity, our purpose, everything that we need for life, it is found in You, Lord. And so I do pray, as we open Your word, Lord, would You lead us, guide us, instruct us in Your truth, and would You have Your way in each one of us? It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, the purpose of the psalm, again, to remind God's people to come before God with a spirit of worship and thanksgiving, but to do it the right way. You've heard the saying before, it's not just about what you do, but how you do it, having the right attitude, the right mindset. And you know, the Bible over and over again tells us to give thanks to God. And it doesn't tell us to give thanks when we feel like it, when we want to do it, when we deem it to be correct or the right thing to do it. In all things, give thanks to God. We're going through the book of Hebrews on Sunday, and you guys might remember this. When we were in Hebrews chapter 2, when we opened that chapter, there was a warning in that chapter. And the opening warning of Hebrews chapter 2, it was, don't drift from Jesus. One of the major themes of Hebrews is the author is warning the early church believers, if Jesus has changed your life, if Jesus has transformed everything, you may feel pressure from the world, from the culture, even from your family. Not everybody's going to be happy that you're following after Jesus, but don't turn your back on Jesus. Don't give up the best thing that has ever happened to you. Continue to press on. Continue to run the race that God has called you to run. And don't neglect so great a salvation? Now, the idea, we're not talking about losing our salvation, but losing sight, rather, of the significance of our salvation. It's a great salvation because it came at a great cost, it gives us great blessing, and it gives us a great inheritance. We need to always remember that. And when we focus on that, that produces thanksgiving in our lives. I would go as far as to say an attitude and a heart of thanksgiving helps keep us from drifting. Drifting from the Lord, which, by the way, drifting from the Lord is not a hard thing to do. If you want to drift from the Lord, the simple thing to do is just do nothing. Stop investing in your relationship with the Lord. Stop being committed to God's word. Stop being committed to prayer. Stop being committed to fellowshipping with other believers. Just pull back. Ease off. That's the recipe for drifting. But see, when we have a mindset and mentality of thanksgiving, the more that we know God, we recognize we owe everything to Him, the more we want to go deeper in our relationship with Him. The more that we walk with Him, we want to know Him that much more. Thanksgiving has a way of keeping us centered and anchored on the Lord, anchored in the Lord. Meditating on who God is and what God has done for us, what God is doing in and through our lives. It keeps us focused and thankful for what we have rather than focusing on what we don't have or what we think that we need. As we know, we're all so prone to do. It keeps us looking to the Lord. And when we're looking to the Lord, that's the place where you're going to experience His power in your life. That's the place where you're going to experience His peace, His perspective. That's the place that changes everything when our eyes are on the Lord. When we adopt a mindset and an attitude of thanksgiving, it doesn't always change our circumstance, but it absolutely will change our outlook. And it causes us to cling to the Lord in all things. In good seasons, we keep a firm grip on Jesus. In tough seasons, seasons of difficulty, trials, we keep a firm grip on Jesus. We look to the Lord in all things. Look at verse 1 again. I'm going to highlight a couple things here in the psalm. It says, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. So we notice that the psalm, it opens with a very simple but direct exhortation. And we see this is really a call to all nations and all people to, quite simply, know God and worship God. An invitation to know God and to worship God. Revelation chapter 7, it pictures this awesome scene of nations and tribes and tongues gathering together and crying out, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. How we look forward to that day. But to make a joyful shout to the Lord, originally the phrase, it has the idea of just simply making a glad shout. It was the type of shout that loyal subjects, they might wait when they found themselves in the midst or the presence of their king. And for the believer, don't we realize that Jesus is our king? Jesus is the only king forever? That we have access to the throne room 24/7? That He's near to us at all times? He's with us wherever we go? We shouldn't be shy about declaring who He is and all He has done for us. When we consider our faith in the Lord, our faith is personal, yes, but it was never meant to be private. And so at every opportunity, we should declare the goodness of God, all that God has done in our lives. See, for the believer, our lives should be marked by thanksgiving. Our lives should be marked with an appreciation, a gratitude to God for all that He's done for us, all that He's made available to us, and where He is ultimately leading us. And we shouldn't be shy or silent about declaring His goodness, declaring His faithfulness over our lives. Psalm 139:14 says, I will praise You, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Your works that my soul knows very well. We should joyfully give God the praise, the honor, the glory that He alone is worthy of at every opportunity. And all of the days of our lives, we should testify of the goodness of God. We should recognize that this is the day that the Lord has made, and we as His people will rejoice and be glad in it. Verse 2 says that serve the Lord with gladness, come before His presence with singing. So we see a thankful life is going to serve the Lord with gladness. Praising God should lead to serving God. And serving God is a form of worship. A life that is marked by thanksgiving will not just serve the Lord to serve the Lord, but as we serve the Lord, we're going to do it gladly. We don't serve the Lord with the mindset of the mentality that God needs me or what I can offer God. Can I just say, if we have that mentality that God needs me, God can use me, that's the recipe to fall. That's the recipe to miss out on all that God has for us. But the one that serves with the right attitudes recognize, who am I, Lord, that you would want to have anything to do with me? I'm grateful that I get to play just a very small part in the big picture of everything that you are doing. We recognize that God doesn't use us because he needs us, but rather he wants to use us. And there's a blessing in that for us. And because of that, we serve the Lord with gladness because we know that it's all because of him that we have the capability and the ability to serve him. And if you didn't know already, Jesus is the best master. If you know Jesus personally, then you know that truth and that reality. And for the believer, what we praise God for, what we're thankful for, is that before Jesus was our master, sin was our master. And sin is a cruel master. It brings us into bondage and it keeps us in bondage. It destroys our lives and the lives of other people. It always keeps us wanting more and more, but it never satisfies. Sin is a cruel master. But for those of us who are believers, we're so thankful that when Jesus came into our life, when he opened up the eyes of our understanding, now we serve a good father. We serve the best master. It's a privilege to serve the Lord and be used by the Lord. That should fill our hearts with gratitude and thanksgiving. When we think about serving, I think if we're real with ourselves, oftentimes serving is not something where we're filled with gratitude. Serving is not something that we always have the right attitude in doing it. I remember as a kid, my parents used to give me chores. One of the chores that I had is I was supposed to take out the trash. And I'm going to make a confession to you guys because I know this is a safe place here. Oftentimes, my attitude was not good when I was asked to take out the trash. I had the eye roll, the inconvenience thing. How could you? Are you serious? Why now? And I'm sure my mom and dad, God bless them, they were thinking, you realize from the trash can to outside or wherever you got to dump the trash, probably about 20 feet or so, okay? My goodness, such a big ask of you to help out around here. And then what's funny is it all comes full circle now. Now that I'm a parent and I start asking my kids to help out a little bit, magically, they start doing the same thing to me. Oh, come on. Why would you do that? Why do I have to do that? I didn't take that out. Why do I need to help? But see, when it comes to the Lord, we need to recognize that as we serve the Lord, it's our privilege. It's a gift to us. Yes, we seek to bless the Lord and bless others through our service, but those who have served the Lord with pure motives and intentions, we recognize we're blessed that God would use us, that God would have anything to do with us, that God can take simple people, unworthy people like you and me, and use us for the most worthy cause, the kingdom of God. That we get to be, again, a small part of his story and be used by him. Psalm chapter 8, it talks about humanity, and it says, who is man that you are mindful of him? That's always stuck out to me because when I read that, I recognize, Lord, who am I that you would want to have anything to do with me, that you would want to have a relationship with me, that you would want to use me, that you would want to give me an inheritance and make available to me all that's available in Christ Jesus. Who are we? But great is the Lord, and that's why we have thanksgiving. Our hearts should be filled with thanksgiving, and that's what we need to keep in remembrance as we serve the Lord and in all that we do for the Lord. We don't serve the Lord because we're qualified to serve the Lord. We get to serve the Lord just simply because we're available, and then he takes and uses our lives for his purpose and his kingdom and his glory. He does the work. He goes before us. Our natural tendency, our sin nature, is to always seek to be served rather than to serve the Lord and to serve others. It's always to look to take rather than to give, to look to make others serve us rather than look for an opportunity to serve someone else. Naturally, we look to use or take advantage of our neighbor rather than bless, show kindness or compassion to our neighbor. But praise God that for the believer, what we're thankful for is that when Jesus comes into our life, all of that changes. We have a new mindset. We have a new mentality. When we see people, we don't see people for how we used to see them before. We learn to see them for how he sees us in desperate need for Jesus. We learn to love people the way that Jesus loves us. When Jesus comes in, everything changes. We go from being self-seeking in everything that we do in life to God-glorifying and God-pleasing. And it's all because of Jesus. Our mindset and mentality shifts from what's in it for me to, Lord, how do you want to use me? Lord, take and use my life, the little that I have, the little that I am, for your purpose and your kingdom and your glory. And when we serve the Lord, it should be a continual thing. It shouldn't just be, again, when we feel like it. Can you imagine, for those of you who are married, okay, husbands, I'll call you guys out here since, you know, men. If we said, hey, husbands, you know, do you love your wife? And the answer was, well, I mean, when I feel like it, when I deem it appropriate or correct. No, that's a recipe for a bad marriage, right? Well, it's the same thing with our service to the Lord. We need to serve the Lord continually with thanksgiving at all times. We're never off the clock in our service to the Lord. You know, before I was on staff here at the church, I used to sell insurance. That's what I used to do for about 10 years. And I will make a confession to you guys. My schedule was from 9 to 5, okay? I would think about that job every day at 9 a.m. And then when 5 o'clock hit, I was out the door. And then you know the next time that I thought about that job? At 9 a.m. the next day. I was content with just getting there, showing up, doing what I needed to do, and then I'm out of there. Praise God, though, in our service to him, it's not like that. We are to stay ready and available, looking for opportunities to bless him, to serve him, to magnify his name, to bring glory and honor to him. Contentment in life comes from walking with the Lord and serving the Lord. You want to be content? You want to experience God's peace that surpasses all understanding? Walk with the Lord and then serve the Lord. You're going to be content in life. And then it says in verse 2 that we come before his presence with singing. Now, for the believer, you and I, we always have a reason to sing. Now, singing is not the only way to worship God, but it is a great way to do so. It has a way of helping us refocus on the Lord, make sure that our priorities are in order. One of the things that I love about corporately worshiping together is I can come through those doors and whatever I have going on in my life, whether good, bad, just okay, I can lay all of that at the feet of Jesus and then I can just freely worship the Lord because he's worthy, because he's good, because he's faithful. He's sovereign over our lives. So we worship God because he's worthy, by the way. Not because we feel like it. It's not about us. But it's all about him. We focus less on how we feel. Again, we leave that all at the feet of Jesus. And then we sing praises to God because he is worthy. And you know, when we worship the Lord in song, I don't know if you've ever noticed this before. I didn't come up with this saying, but I've heard the saying goes, when your hands go up, your worries have a way of going down. Why? Because our focus, our priorities are in the right order. Singing praise to God has a way of centering us on the Lord. And when we sing praises, as we allow the words of the song to wash over us, it always causes us to be thankful for who God is. Recognize that apart from him, we are nothing. And that no matter what we're facing in this life, God is with us. God is for us. God is going before us. God is at work in our lives. And then we have a confidence that if God is for us, if God is with us, well, then who can be against us? Verse 3 says, know that the Lord, he is good. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. How wonderful it is that not only does God know us, but he wants us to know him. He wants us to be in right relationship with him. He wants us to enjoy fellowship with him and walking with him. Psalm 34:8 says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. The idea of tasting something, you have to do it personally. And that's the invitation that is placed before us, to taste and see personally that God is good. As we draw near to God, he will be faithful to draw near to us. So God not only wants us to know him, or God not only knows us, but he wants us to know him. He wants us to have a confidence that he is in control and he's sovereign over all things. For many who are in the world, they try to live as if they're in control of their own life. They're in control of their own destiny. It's a miserable way to live. It's a miserable way to live when you try to be the God of your own life, when you try to take the place that only God should have on the throne of your heart. But for the believer, we thank God that that describes who we used to be, what our lives used to be about, but now in Christ, it's no longer we who live, but it's him who lives in and through us. We're thankful that victory comes from surrender, coming to the end of ourselves and looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We're thankful to God for the breakthrough that took place in our lives, all because of him, in his grace and mercy, his love for us. When Jesus comes in, it changes everything. And then when Jesus comes in, all of a sudden, life isn't on us to figure it out. We don't have the pressure of the world on our shoulders. We allow the Lord to lead, guide, and provide in our lives. We go from a place of trying in life, trying to do things in our strength, trying to put forth our best effort, and we go to a wonderful place of just simply trusting in the Lord, looking to the Lord, walking with the Lord, following after him until one day he's faithful to bring us home. So for the believer, we thank God that we know with confidence he's in control. He's sovereign over all things. We're thankful as believers that as we go out into the world, aren't we thankful that our hope is not in a dying world, but in a living God? That's powerful. That's a game changer when we adopt that mindset and mentality. We have a confidence in this life that in everything God does in our life, in everything that God allows to happen to us, it all has purpose. There's no random coincidences with God, only divine appointment. It's all part of the big picture of what he is working out for our good, for our eternal benefit. I think that's often where the struggle can come from in life as well, as we oftentimes are too focused on the temporary, where God is focused on the eternal. God is trying to get us to think with an eternal mindset and mentality rather than just a temporary mindset, rather than what we can just see right in front of us. Because what we have to recognize is sometimes that thing that we want in the moment, it's not always what is eternally good or in the big picture is good for us. And oftentimes what God has for us, okay, it's not immediately good. It doesn't immediately work out. Sometimes it takes patience and perseverance. But knowing God that is in control, that should cause us to trust the Lord, trust in his ways, trust in his plans, trust in his timing, and be thankful to him that we owe everything to him. And it's also amazing in life when we get to those points where perhaps we're struggling, perhaps it seems like things are just piling up one after the other, like we just can't catch a break, and we can be still and know that he's God. We can be still and see the salvation of the Lord, how that refocuses us and gives us a mindset and mentality of thanksgiving. And we're thankful to God when we remember our mission. We remember why we're here. We remember that the reason that we're all here tonight, the reason that you're sitting in a chair, God is not finished with you yet. There is still work to be done, things that God wants to do in and through our lives. And we remember that our mission, quite simply, the purpose of our life is to know God and make God known. That, in a nutshell, is what it all boils down to, is knowing God and making him known. Notice again in verse 3, it says that he is our creator. You know, oftentimes we live in a world, we live in a culture that prefers to worship the creation over the creator. But for the believer, we give thanks that we know we are fearfully and wonderfully made, that we are his workmanship, we are his poema, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which he predestined. We thank God that we are not a mistake, we are not an accident, in spite of what the world or the culture might tell us. We were made in the image of God with purpose. We thank God that he always knows best. What a wonderful place that we can come to when we can come to the end of ourselves and say, Lord, it doesn't make sense to me. Lord, I don't get it. I don't understand what you're doing, Lord. But what I do trust is that you have seen everything from beginning to end. I do trust, Lord, that if you're big enough to hold the world in your hands, then you are big enough and good enough to hold my life in your hands as well. And then we also see that he's a good shepherd. And we know that a good shepherd, he cares for the flock. Now, if we acknowledge that he is the good shepherd and we are his sheep, that means that we acknowledge we belong to him. We are dependent upon him. And not just dependent upon him in some things, but we are dependent upon him in all things. We need to be submitted to God in every aspect of our lives. Now, when we talk about the word submission, I think that's something that naturally we don't like doing. Naturally, we think, who are you that you would tell me what to do? I'm not going to submit. I'm not going to listen. I'm my own man. I'm my own woman. But we know that submitting to God, that's the place where we experience victory in our life. That's the place where we begin to walk and experience all that the Lord has for us. When we come to the end of ourselves and we say, Lord, not my will be done, but your will be done in and through my life. We recognize that on our own, apart from the Lord, all we do is we make a mess of things. But see, when we look to the Lord to lead, guide, and provide, we can know with confidence that he will get us where we need to go. And so as believers, we're thankful to God because we rely upon him in every aspect of our lives. We recognize that we have everything that we need in Jesus. We can cast our cares upon him because he cares for us. All of our needs, physical, emotional, spiritual, it's all met in the person of Jesus. Not all of our wants, but everything that we need for life, to experience life, abundant life, life to the fullest, as God intended. Pressing on, verse 4 says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. So we see verse 4, the invitation is to be thankful to him, to enter into his gates with thanksgiving. This describes the mindset and mentality that we should come to God with in light of all that God has done for us, all that God has made available to us. We can come before the throne room at any time. God's never closed. And we should come to him with thanksgiving in our hearts and praise on our lips. We should have an attitude of gratitude over an attitude of grumbling. So many times, we can be guilty of coming before God with an ungrateful and even demanding attitude of God, treating God as if he owes us something. You know why, as believers, we're thankful to God? Because we recognize that God doesn't owe us. We owe everything to him. We can only approach the throne room and have a relationship with the Lord because of the finished work of Jesus. So many times we're guilty of only coming to God when we feel like we need bailed out of something hard. But for those of us who are in Christ Jesus, those of us living with a spirit and a mindset mentality of thanksgiving, we understand it's a privilege to be able to go before the Lord, to take everything to the Lord in prayer, to have communion and fellowship with the Lord. When we keep this in mind, as we come to the Lord, our hearts can't help but be filled with thanksgiving and adoration for who God is. You ever notice, for those of you guys who are parents, you'll get this example. If you have kids, it means a lot when your kids just simply stop to say, thank you. Thank you for all that you do. Thank you for always being there in my life. Thank you for always helping me out and being there when I need you to be there. That means a lot as a parent. It means a lot to our Heavenly Father as well when we say thank you to Him, when we go out of our way to tell Him that we appreciate Him, we love Him. Luke chapter 17, you guys know the story of the 10 lepers, and only one was healed, only one came back to say thanks. Now, I've always thought that story was interesting because the other nine, we don't read exactly why they didn't come back. But what's interesting is the man who came back to give thanks, he was a Samaritan, okay? Well, the other men were full-bred Jews. And I think on some level, perhaps the other nine, maybe they had a sense of entitlement. Maybe they had a sense that God owes me. It's about time that I get healed. I've been suffering for years. But the other one, his faith made him well. He experienced not just a physical healing, but a spiritual healing as well. It always means a lot when we say thank you to our Heavenly Father. And then we bless His name. Now, this is contrary to the world and the culture that we live in. The world and the culture often mocks God, curses God's name, looks to diminish God. But we as believers, we bless the Lord's name. We magnify His name because we know that there is power in the name of Jesus. We've experienced that firsthand in our lives. There's power to save, power to transform a life, power to heal, power to break chains, power to restore, power to give hope, identity, future. And we could go on and on. At the name of Jesus, the enemy trembles in fear. When we speak the name of Jesus, confusion fades and His truth reigns. There is power in the name of Jesus because the name of Jesus is the name above all names. Verse 5, last verse here, it says, "For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, His truth endures to all generation." Those who are thankful recognize that God is good. In spite of where we've been in life, in spite of what we're going through, in spite of what we might have to face on the horizon, God is good, and our circumstances do not dictate whether or not God is good. Oftentimes, I think we're too wrapped up in our circumstances, and we're not fixated enough on the Lord. A thankful life understands that no matter what we face, no matter what we endure in this life, God is always on the throne. God always has the final say. And as we look to Him, we trust and we have a confidence, we have a hope and an expectation in Him that He is working all things out for our good according to His plan and purpose. You know, I think about the Apostle Paul. He was the one who said, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice." Now, when Paul makes that statement, I've always thought it'd be one thing if Paul was making that statement from a nice house where he's got a lot of good things going on. But for those of us who know where he's making that statement from, he's in prison, he's in chains, but he's praising God that God is using his chains, God is using his trial and difficulty. God is at work in his life, and that's what we can have a confidence of as well. That's what we can be thankful for, that again, whether we're in a season of blessing, whether we're in a season of hardship, God is good, God is on the throne, God is going before us, and God is at work in our lives. So give thanks to God in all seasons, all circumstances, all situations. We give thanks to God not because of how we feel, not because it always feels good to do so. We give thanks to God because He is worthy. He's always good. He never stops being good. He never stops being faithful. He never stops being in control. And when you have Jesus, I mentioned this in the beginning, what we must recognize is the good always outweighs the bad. No matter how bad the bad seems, no matter how much things might seem like it's piling up, no matter how much it might seem like for some of us tonight, we have so many different things going on in life and we just can't catch a break. If you have Jesus, the good always outweighs the bad. And then lastly, we see his mercy and his truth are everlasting. You know, when we consider God's mercy, so many people go through life and it's all about just life. It's all about what's fair. That's what life has to be about. I don't know about you, but when I consider my relationship with the Lord, I am eternally thankful to God that he does not deal with me on the basis of what is fair, because I know what I deserve: death, separation from God. But praise God that he doesn't deal with me on the basis of what's fair, but he deals with us on the basis of grace, on the basis of his love, on the basis of his mercy towards us. And God's truth, don't we praise God and aren't we thankful for this? God's truth is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. God's truth guides and instructs us in all wisdom. Though the world in large resists God's truth, ignores God's truth, as believers, we thank God that it's God's truth that has set us free, and it's holding on to God's truth that keeps us free. God's truth is the firm foundation that is unchanging, reliable, and we can build our lives on it. We can stake our eternity on it. A couple closing points, and then we'll finish up here. You know, you think about a thankful life versus a thankless life. A thankless life results in an impoverished life, but a thankful life is a blessed and fruitful life. Maybe tonight is an opportunity for us to choose thanksgiving. Maybe for us, tonight is an opportunity to just say, Lord, whatever I'm facing, whatever I'm going through right now, whether I'm in a season of blessing, whether life is going great, whether you're prospering the work of my hand, or Lord, whether I'm on the other side of the coin and life isn't too good right now, it's a struggle. There's pain, there's hurt. I've experienced loss and hardship and difficulty. I'm going to choose to be thankful anyway. I'm going to choose to praise you through the storm. Wherever we're at tonight, the encouragement and the exhortation is praise the Lord and bless the Lord's name, because he is good. His promises are sure. He's faithful forever. He's a good God who loves us. He cares for us. He's going before us, and he's at work in our lives even now. Even if we can't make sense of everything, what a freeing place it is to come to the end of ourselves and just be thankful to God for who he is in our life, what he's brought us out of, what he's doing in our life now, and where he's one day leading us. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your presence in this place. We thank you for your great love. We thank you for your provision in our life, Lord. We're so thankful that in you we have everything that we need. Lord, I pray for each one of us here. Lord, I recognize that, Lord, for some of us we're in seasons of blessing. For some of us we're in seasons of trial and hardship and difficulty. Lord, would you help us to be a people filled with thanksgiving and gratitude to you for all that you are, all that you've done in our lives, all that's made available because of you, Lord. Lord, would you be faithful to minister to our hearts this evening, to meet us right where we're at, and would you have your way in each one of us, Lord. Help us, Lord, even if it's hard, even if it doesn't feel good, just to say thank you to you, Lord. Thank you because you love us. Thank you because you have a plan for us, Lord. Thank you because you're leading, guiding, providing in our lives. Thank you, Lord, for the hope that we have in you, Lord. Help us to rest in you and to trust in you and to walk with you faithfully, Lord, all of our days. We love you, Lord. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.